planning together, what is some sort of practice that we can do where we can get you into practicing presence before I preach on practicing presence? So you just practice presence. Oh, I can go home and we're all good. Or I hope your holidays are good. Mine were okay. I have a hard time praying the Yahweh breath prayer right now. I'm still a little congested up in here. There's a little stuff still going on in here. But hopefully we make it through this morning as well. I want to say thank you to the community here for welcoming myself and my wife here. We love you here at Evergreen LA. I want to answer one of the repeating and burning questions that I get every time when people first meet me at Evergreen. Your last name is Granucci. Isn't that Italian? Yes. I am both Japanese and Italian. Predominantly, we don't want to get into that. We'd be here all day. But I've identified closely with my Japanese side. And for an example, you've probably noticed that I have a small tattoo on my ring finger. And people go, why is there a flower on your finger? And I go, well, it's not just any flower. It's a Japanese cherry blossom. It's a sakura. And if you've ever seen the Japanese cherry blossoms before, it's very pretty. And unfortunately, I've never been able to enjoy Japan in cherry blossom season. For one, the Japanese cherry blossom bloom season is really short. And so Japanese people have used it to represent the fleetingness of life, to enjoy each and every present moment. So, in my idealism, of course, I'm a newlywed, I decided to get a Japanese cherry blossom tattooed on my finger to remind me to cherish each moment in my marriage. All the people that have been married a long time, just, you know, you can laugh now, it's okay. So as we quickly approach the transition of New Year's, there are either three topics that I can talk about. I can talk about reflecting on the past, I can talk about reflecting on the future, or the obvious one, which you know I've chosen by now, is practicing presence and living in the present. This morning, we're going to join churches all across the world in reading the lectionary passage for today, taken from Luke 2, 41 through 52. The Gospel of Luke is an account of Jesus' life. At the point that we're going to pick up from this morning, we just have celebrated Christmas. Jesus' birth was last week. Don't forget that. I know it might have seemed like a long time ago. Jesus' birth was last week. And as a church, we journey through Jesus as peace, wholeness, and oneness in our lives, in our relationship, and in the world around us. We had that sermon title screen of the entire world. The Jesus' message was one of peace for all. So the point that we're picking up just as follows Jesus being presented at the temple as an infant. And the priest and a prophetess has just declared that Jesus is going to bring redemption. He's going to bring this peace. So let's take a look at this passage that we're going to journey to today. Starting from Luke 2, 41. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. And when the festival was ended, they started to return. But the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. And then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. Right off the bat, we find Jesus' parents traveling to Jerusalem to take part in a Passover ritual. They do this every year Year in and year out, they do the same thing. They make the same journey over and over again. This is one that was part of their routine every year. However, the festival had ended, and Jesus was not just going to be in and out. He's going to search for something deeper. I believe that Jesus heard an invitation for death, for depth to stay. Jesus demonstrates an awareness to the presence of what is happening in the moment. So how can we be aware in the midst of our routines, in our commutes? I drive down San Gabriel Boulevard from Arcadia every day to get here, the same way, just straight down San Gabriel. How do we be aware in the midst of our routines to hear God's invitation for more? Jesus being 12 at this time is culturally important. He's kind of in this gray area between being a child, but slowly transitioning into being an adult. So he's still supposed to listen to his parents, but if he doesn't at times, it's still okay too. And so the age is one of transition into young adulthood. Jesus' decision to stay was not one of disrespect to his parents, but a decision to make the most out of his journey, an opportunity to be in the temple in the presence of God. It's clear from the beginning of this journey that his parents recognize his absence, but they safely assume that, you know, he's with Auntie and Uncle so-and-so, he's with our longtime friend, that he should be traveling with everybody that they had come there with. It was normal for all the kids to hang out in one section together, kind of like maybe at your family gatherings, you had a kids' table. We have the kids' journey section for the group. So Jesus missing wasn't really a big deal at the time. However, after a day goes by, they realize he's not in the kids' section, and he's actually missing. So they return back to Jerusalem to search for him. So picking back up in Luke 2:46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to him and asking them questions. 3 days. I don't know. I hope I never lose. God willing, I have a child. I hope I never lose my child for 3 days. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said, "Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. And then he went down with them, and they came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. I would guess that instead of Jesus' parents returning to the last place that they saw him, they took the path in retracing their steps. Kind of like when you lose your keys in your house, you have two options, right? You either go to the place where you last saw them, or you retrace from your steps where you are. Or if you're like me now, thanks to Pastor Jason, I have a tile. So now I can just use my phone app to show me where my lost keys are in the house. Thank God for technology. So I imagine that they retraced their steps, and in eventually doing so, this led them back to where Jesus was in the temple. And Jesus is found doing three things. He's physically sitting in the presence of others. He's actively listening to them, and he's asking questions. And the response from the people among him is amazement. It's awe. It's wonder. It's wow. Jesus' act and practice of asking questions was one that was instituted early on in the Passover, where the Israelites found freedom from Egypt. We find this first reference of children asking questions in the midst of Passover in Exodus 12. says, when your children ask you, what do you mean by this observance? You shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice for the Lord. For he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, and he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses. The practice of asking questions is still ingrained now in the Jewish culture in the Passover ritual. It's an encouragement to children that the only way to learn and to grow is that you ask questions. You use your curiosity for more. The Passover continually reminds people today the God who works on behalf of the oppressed and is still at work today. And I wonder if Jesus' longing to ask questions was left unfulfilled because his parents they were stuck on cruise control. And if his parents have done what they should have, if they had shared the Passover ritual with them, if they have engaged with him in his asking of questions, but instead we find him there doing so with the teachers. We find him in the temple, in the presence of God, asking questions and wanting to grow. Jesus' parents question him in response, question his question, and Jesus addressing him as a child, that Jesus' absence has brought them worry, anxiety, and fear. And Jesus' only words in response to their question is another question. Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? We've talked about house a lot in our journey here. The Greek word oikos for house is actually not found here in this passage. Because Jesus just says, didn't you know I shouldn't be at my Father's place? Just with in the presence of my Father. There's no physical connotation here of being there. Jesus' desire and intention was to be in the presence of God. But his parents don't understand this. Their lack of presence is their lack of understanding. Jesus' growth and presence with God took him deeper into community. It took Jesus outside of the direct familial bonds and outside of the community that he had lived with, and it took him into a community with teachers. And we see Jesus' immediate growth in his understanding and his depth. In your routines, are you seeking God's presence? Are you creating space for growth? Are you going deeper into the presence of the community of others around you? I think we see this in longing and the need for depth demonstrated in our culture and my personal use of technology. I remember back in the day, I get to say this all the time as youth director, back in the day when I was young, I used to run home after school. I don't even actually run. My parents would pick me up. I would go home after school, run to the computer that was, you know, plugged in a located spot in our house because laptops, that was not a thing yet. And then, you know, do the dial-up thing. And then I would have instant messenger and I would instantly be connected with my friends again. Or now we have the ability to have a cell phone. I call one of my friends from Northern California at least 3 or 4 times a day. Or we have the ability to video chat, which my dad and I use frequently. I took a while to teach him how to use it. And we now have live streaming for the church services so that when you're sick or those that have new children or you don't feel up to coming to church, you're able to still be present here. And as a youth director, I recently decided I thought it was a good idea to start playing Fortnite. Okay, that's good. You know, Fortnite is a now very popular game that is sweeping the nations for all those young people out there that are playing video games. And I thought, what a better way to connect with the youth than to actually start playing Fortnite myself. I'm still learning. The pro of Fortnite, and why I think it has such great appeal, is that the game almost requires that you communicate with the people that you're playing with. That in order to have success in the game, you have to be talking to your friends, and they might not be sitting in the living room with you, but they're still there with you as you communicate with them. Technology has given us this great ability to be seemingly present with others while not actually being in the same physical space. Technology allows us to connect with people. But I think we've all experienced the greatest downfalls of technology as well. We've been at the dinner table, or we've been out with people, and all you see when you look across the table is someone on their cell phone. Wow, that's a lot of text messages. Thank you, advisors. And they're not present with you because they're present on their cell phone. The technology, although connecting people from different locations, also has the ability to disconnect you from your present self. And to be honest, we've all been there, and I've been there myself. As Mitch so aptly quoted Father Richard Rohr, I will do so as well. Richard Rohr says this: we live in a time where it's more easily available obstacles to presence than any other period in history. We carry our obstacles in our pockets now, vibrating and notifying and emojiing us about everything and nothing. We have to find a way to be more deeply experience our experiences. Otherwise, we're just on cruise control. And we go through our whole life not knowing what's happening. Whether we realize it or not, the divine energy of God is flowing through each one of us. And when we draw upon this source consciously, our life starts filling with what some call coincidences, synchronicities, which we can never explain. It was technology that led me here to Evergreen. It was through a Facebook group that somebody referenced that maybe you should try out this church. And I came here on a whim on a Sunday just to appreciate Evergreen. But it just so happened that I had met Pastor Jason once before the year. And it was through our relationship that we were able to connect and move forward to me being here and working here and joining this community. As Richard Rohr explains, it's often what happens with technology is that it places us in situations without substance, without depth. But in order to enjoy the present, we must mindfully practice awareness and the invitation of God's presence and others around us. And in this practice, God's action flowing through us will surprise us, will give us awe and wonder. Now back to the cherry blossom tattoo. As we are reminded of each moment, I want to share a little bit of backstory of why I thought about getting the cherry blossom. This is a moment where I want to practice vulnerability with you all so that you can better know me. Over 2 years ago, my mom died from her battle with cancer. And among many of the moments that I cherish today, is that I got to witness the ultimate demonstration of what it looks like to love in the midst of sickness. I watched my dad care for my mother as she died. I was there caring with my mother as she died. And only after a month of being engaged, my mom died. So the resounding message in the midst of death and love being present at the same time, was that I needed to cherish each moment of my marriage. And not just to experience and to cherish each moment of my marriage, but to cherish all of my relationships as well. So my cherry blossom tattoo doesn't just remind me to stay present with my marriage. It reminds me to stay present in each and every moment. Like a couple months ago, I, you know, wasn't being so present. And of course, I've addressed my idealism and that I was doing my husbandly duties and I was washing the dishes. And the crashing of the water and my wife being in another room, we were trying to have a conversation with each other. I don't know if everyone else ever does this in your household, but you know, yell across the room and you hear your name and then you hear, and then you leave the water on and you hear, and you go, ah, and what? And you know, it goes back and forth. And of course I'm washing the dishes. I look down and I see my tattoo, and I messed up. Turn the water off, dry my hands off, step around the corner, and I have a conversation with my wife. Do I remember what that conversation was? No. Was it informative? I don't know, because I don't remember it. But that was a moment, and maybe you can agree with me, where it was both a failure and also a success. Where I learned and I grew in the moment to have the awareness that I needed to be present with my wife. Jesus' desire for growth and presence with God took him deeper into the presence of community. And this is the desire that we all long for, to be known, to be loved, to be accepted by others. Evergreen, our new vision here is we're inviting you into a home for a new humanity, in which we say, you are welcome here. You are seen and you are loved. But this requires us to enter into community with one another. This requires us to practice presence with one another. Requires us to be here in physical space with one another as a place that we can call home. Our invitation for you as you call this place home, that you be present with how God is moving with you, not only here, but in your workplace, in your families, in your homes, that you don't just go through the routine, that you practice presence in each and every moment. And in practicing presence, that you also do so in the midst of community, that you connect with one another. And together, we can grow into a home for a new humanity. Let's pray. Light of life, you came in flesh, born into human pain and joy. You gave us power to be your children. God, may you grant us faith to see your presence among us so that all creation may sing your new songs of gladness and that we may walk in the way of peace.